fender slamming, rubber squealing, gears are jamming. Local country station just a blaring on a radio. Pick him up at 7 and they're heading to the rodeo. Mama's on the front porch screaming out her warning. Girl, you better get your red head back in bed before the morning. Clock show is in, but the fun is just beginning. She knows he's anticipating, but she's gonna keep him waiting. Grab a bite to eat, and then they're heading to the honky tonk. But loud crowds and line dancing just ain't what they really want. Drive out to the boondocks and park down by the creek, hey, where it's George Strait.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Secretary Pete Hegseth appearing to be planning a sizable gathering of top military leaders next week.
Exactly how many generals and admirals would be in attendance isn't clear. There are more than 400 general officers holding at least a two-star rank. Officials confirm the defense secretary is expected to gather a large number of them at the Marine base at Quantico, Virginia next Tuesday. It's quite rare for there to be a large in-person meeting of military leaders based all over the world in a single location.
ABC's Stephen Portnoy. Attempts to bring charges against former FBI Director James Comey could go to a grand jury. Lindsey Halligan, President Trump's hand-picked U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Virginia, is expected to call a grand jury to seek an indictment against Comey based on possible false testimony given to Congress in 2020. President Trump is expected to finalize a TikTok deal later today to shift ownership from the China-owned app to U.S. stakeholders. That would keep it from being banned in the U.S. This is ABC News. Federal regulators have imposed a hefty fine on Amazon for how the e-commerce company dealt with subscribers looking to cancel service.
Amazon is being fined $2.5 billion over how it handles sign-ups and cancellations of its Prime subscription service. $1.5 billion will go towards Amazon customers who, the FTC says, were tricked into enrolling in Prime. The online retailer will also pay $1 billion in civil penalties, the largest fine in FTC history. Amazon has admitted no wrongdoing. Mike Dubosky, ABC News.
Palestinian President Mahmoud Abbas addressing the UN General Assembly today, blasting Israel for its continued strikes in Gaza and deaths of Palestinians. Abbas also condemned Hamas and the October 7th attacks. Tomorrow, Israel's Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu will get ready to address the UN. On Wall Street, stocks are down this hour. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
You're on the list for Macy's Fall VIP Sale. That means you're invited to save big on this season's top designer looks at prices you'll love. Like an extra 30% off Calvin Klein, Steve Madden, Hugo Boss, and more. Plus, get 15% off beauty and fragrance from Estee Lauder, Lancome, and so many others. This only happens a few times a year. Don't miss the Fall VIP Sale today, only at Macy's. Savings off regular and already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Wisconsin Radio Network News. I'm Ted Ayler. At the Capitol, Assembly Republican lawmakers are proposing bills with the goal of alleviating Wisconsin's affordable housing shortage. Representative David Armstrong of Rice Lake at a Tuesday press conference.
We're not building those type of homes. In my area, a starter home is $400,000. That's not a starter home. Right, that's not what my workforce can afford.
Wisconsin Realtors Association President and CEO Tom Larson says it's hard for young people to purchase homes.
The longer that we put off home ownership, it has impacts on our economy and our families.
Larson says the average age of a first-time home buyer is 38. Bail has been set for a Manitowoc man now facing first-degree intentional homicide charges.
20-year-old Kirk Dunn was given a $500,000 cash bail on the homicide charge after a person was fatally shot and later died in a car on Manitowoc's south side. Manitowoc County District Attorney Jacqueline LeBrie said the victim was hit two times by bullets from a .40-caliber handgun Dunn used. However, the gun was fired eight times since eight shell casings matching the gun were found at the scene. Dunn is to have no contact with the victim's family and cannot possess any weapons. He'll return to a Manitowoc County courtroom on Monday for an initial appearance. The name of the victim has not been released. Dunn faces a life sentence if convicted. In Manitowoc, Stephen Devine, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Make sure you're properly installing your child car seats.
This is Child Passenger Safety Week, a reminder that a properly fitted child car seat can save lives. The American Academy of Pediatrics recommends kids younger than 2 years old be secured in a rear-facing car seat in the back seat. Kids age 2 to 4 can switch to a forward-facing car seat with a harness in the back seat until they reach age 4 and 40 pounds. Kids should be sitting in the back seat until they turn 13. More information on Wisconsin's car seat laws can be found on the State Department of Transportation website. Sean Maloney, Wisconsin Radio Network.
You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between. Find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Tons of sunshine on tap, not only for today, but tomorrow, into the weekend, and even for next week. High temperatures today will flirt with 80 degrees. Tomorrow, we slip to the mid-70s, then we pop back to the upper 70s for Saturday and Sunday. Need a new bathroom? Upgrade for 50% off installation now from Bath Planet. Call 1-800-329-4115. Right now, it's 71 degrees.
This is AM 1430 WRDN, Durand Mondovi at Wabasha. The following program was pre-recorded.
There's a lot to consider to answer that question. And we'll talk about the rumored incentives to build the beef herd. But first, let's talk about the latest Ag Economist Monthly Monitor and make our way to the asphalt materials program at Iowa State for this week's College Roadshow.
Live from Clone Country via Farm Journal broadcast, this is Agrich Hook. This morning we join Farm Journal's College Roadshow at Iowa State University. We'll feature Dr. Chris Williams and Professor Eric Cochran. Then we'll chat with grains specialist Grant Gardner from the University of Kentucky. Later, NCBA CEO Colin Woodall. Directly following the news, Angie Stump Denton from Drovers. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson. And now, here's the host of AgriTalk, Chip Glory.
You couldn't just let me ease back into this after being gone for a couple of days? That wasn't a possibility?
We need you for this show more than ever, Chip. I'm so glad that the Astronaut Academy didn't have a place for you again.
I heard.
I heard
that rumor was out there once again I was doing my best to get into space camp or something like that. They won't even take me at space camp. I think we have established after all of these years.
Did you try fudging your resume? A lot of people do that these days.
Absolutely.
Maybe that should be your approach. Oh, you did? Okay.
Oh, yeah. I've got you on there as a reference. I thought, that'd get me in.
Yeah, just that alone. That ought to do
it. Yeah, made mention that I work with Big Apple Joe Stackler.
I mean,
none of this is working.
This is a power trio that maybe not even NASA is willing to break up. You know what I mean?
That may be. Welcome to AgriTalk. Glad that you are here. Big thank you to Bex for its sponsorship of the College Roadshow. Tyne Morgan, what a lucky girl. She spent time this week down in Ames, Iowa, on the campus of Iowa State University. She is going to have the full roadshow report on this weekend's U.S. Farm Report. So looking forward to seeing what they've got going down there. And we're going to talk with Chris and Eric in a bit here about an unlikely use for soy, but a use for soy nonetheless. All right, man, we've got a lot to cover today. Let's go ahead and get started with the news.
Well, Chip, the National Weather Service says a strengthening southwesterly flow ahead of a frontal system approaching from the Ohio Valley will pull in Gulf moisture northward and set the stage for scattered to numerous showers and thunderstorms across much of the eastern U.S. Thursday into Thursday night. The deepening moisture pooling along a cold front stretching from the Great Lakes and interior northeast southwestward to southern Texas will support heavy rainfall rates and the potential for localized flash flooding, particularly in urban, low-lying, and poor drainage areas. Currently 68 degrees and sunny, an idyllic morning in Kansas City, USA. Chip?
Yeah, it's a nice cool morning here in northeast Iowa as well. We're heading for a high in the low 80s, though. So we've got another shot at summer coming this summer, or this weekend.
Well, Chip, corn, soybeans, and wheat were higher overnight. The U.S. dollar was little changed, and crude futures were under light pressure. That's ahead of the open. Looks like we've got ongoing strength in corn, soybeans, and, yes, wheat. Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah, absolutely. The markets are trying to work to the upside, 3 to 4 cents higher in corn, as much as a nickel higher in soybeans here this morning, 5-6 cents higher in wheat. So things are working to the upside. This cattle complex is under some pressure. Feeder cattle leading the way to the downside, $5 to $6 lower here this morning.
Well, Chips, China significantly ramped up its soybean buys from Argentina this week after the South American nation suspended export taxes. Importers in China have expanded purchases to at least 35 cargoes, up from an earlier tally of 20 shipments. That, according to Bloomberg, the updated Argentine cargoes number is equivalent to more than 2.27 million metric tons. Chip, this developed while you were away. It started at 10 million metric tons, up to 20, then 25. Now we're at 35 cargoes.
Yeah, they are displacing U.S. bean purchases through the month of November. That's what is happening here. And if you'll remember, I've said a couple of times that China would be in to buy U.S. beans second half of October and into November. They may have canceled that.
Well, Chip, the American Soybean Association says their frustration with the lack of trade with China is overwhelming, adding U.S. farmers cannot wait and hope any longer. The ASA is calling on President Trump and his negotiating team to prioritize securing an immediate deal on beans with China. Now, earlier this week, separately, Senator Chuck Grassley of Iowa and other legislators requested a meeting with the president to discuss the need to encourage soybean exports. Meanwhile, trade delegates from Taiwan have traveled to the U.S. this week on what has been called an ag trade mission of goodwill. According to U.S. Taiwan Business Council head Rupert Hammond Chambers, quote, the buying mission is that they've got here at the moment is billions of dollars worth that is going to flow to American farmers. It's very, very good news, he said. Now, Chip, on a per capita basis, Taiwan is among the largest consumers of ag goods in the world.
Yeah, it's a Buy America tour. They've done this before.
Well, the Federal Reserve's looser monetary policy may help cash-strapped U.S. crop farmers, but 2026 will be a tough year. The September rate cut came as ag credit conditions worsen and financial strains are appearing for some farmers, especially those who lease their land. According to the Kansas City Federal Reserve's Ag Finance Update, farm income and loan repayment rates across all regions are beginning to fall. Chip.
All right. Thank you very much, Davis. Let's bring in Angie Stump Denton. She is the editorial director at Drovers. Good morning, Angie. How are you?
Good morning, Chip. It's a beautiful day here, too, again. So
excellent.
Trying to get my cornfield. My dad and brother-in-law and sister, they're trying to get the corn out. So.
Gotcha. All right. Angie, these replacement heifers and the potential for some beef herd expansion have become a part of the conversation. Now cow-calf guys, they need to figure out if they're going to make their own replacements or if they're going to go out and buy bred heifers. There's a lot to consider here, isn't there?
There is, you know. The big question today still remains, are you going to rebuilding that cow herd? And from an individual producer, they have two decisions. They can keep those weaned heifers as they wean them this fall, or they can go out and try to buy some bred heifers. And so on drovers.com, we have a story, buy or develop heifers, three crucial considerations for producers to kind of consider this fall as they try to make that decision. You know, it's with today's cattle market, it's not uncommon for someone to comment how expensive bred heifers are and assume that it's going to be cheaper to develop their own heifers. But Dr. Kenny Burndine from University of Kentucky, he shared these three questions that he thinks producers should ask themselves when they make that decision. You know, today on average, that high-quality 500 to 600-pound weaned heifer is bringing about $2,000 in the marketplace. But the producer also needs to think about they're missing out on that $2,000 or more, but then they're also got the money to develop that heifer.
Yep.
And, you know, they need to think about that. And then not all of them will make the cut. And then there's another year of expenses, you know. And then the other thing to consider is, you know, you've got a whole year. So that bred heifer you buy, she's going to have a calf to market in 2026 where that weaned
Angie,
heifer won't.
We're out of time. Go to Drovers, drovers.com for more.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, and every season.
Running a trucking business is hard enough. Don't let compliance paperwork slow you down. At Dakota Group, we make DOT compliance simple and easy. From MCS 150 and UCR filings to strategic advisory services and more, Dakota Group is your trusted partner for comprehensive trucking compliance solutions. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Call 844-426-2400 today. Don't wait. Get your trucking business DOT compliant today. Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Snakes.
Compeer Financial helped us get into our forever home.
They helped me expand more than acreage.
And helped our dairy grow for the next generation.
At Compeer Financial, we see potential in every plan. Our unique perspective finds solutions to your challenges. And our specially trained financial team guides you every step of the way. Partner with us to make your goals possible. Compeer.com. Compeer Financial ACA is an equal opportunity lender and equal opportunity provider. NMLS number 619731, copyright 2019, all rights reserved.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
AgriTalk is brought to you by FBN Finance, helping family farms through tough times with land loan rates as low as 5.19% for well-qualified borrowers. Rates subject to credit and may vary. Visit FBN.com/AgriTalk.
Man, I'm jealous of Ty. She got to spend some time this week in beautiful Ames, Iowa, on the unbelievable campus of Iowa State University. Oh, man, the home of the Cyclones. There it is right there. Thanks to Bex for sponsoring this year's College Roadshow. Don't forget, Tyne will have full coverage from Iowa State this weekend on U.S. Farm Report. Be sure to tune in for that. Okay, right now, we're going to do our part of the College Roadshow and have a conversation about some of the new developments that are happening at Iowa State University. And joining us now, Professor Eric Cochran. He is in the chemical and biological engineering department there. Eric, it is good to talk with you. How are you?
I'm doing well. How are you, Chip?
Doing real fine, real fine. Hopefully Chris is going to be joining us here before we're too long so that we can get a little bit more from him on this. But you know what? I want to jump right into this, Eric, because it's a little strange to be talking about soy uses and asphalt all in the same sentence, isn't it?
One might think so, but I've been doing it for the last 15 years, so it's becoming more and more natural these days.
All right. So how did this start 15 years ago, Eric?
Well, I was a young professor at the time, and one of Chris's students asked me to be one of his out-of-department committee members. And so I was sitting through this thesis defense talking about how they used plastics and rubbers in asphalt pavement design. And I learned that they were doing a lot of just taking products off the shelf without really understanding how they were working at a molecular level. And so that kind of spawned a collaboration between, you know, my group in chemical engineering that really kind of specializes at the molecular level, and Chris's group in civil engineering that really focuses on how the pavement actually works when it's put into service.
Gotcha. Chris is joining us right now. Chris Williams, director of the Asphalt Materials and Pavements Program there at Iowa State. Chris, welcome to AgriTalk.
Yeah, thank you for having me on your show this morning.
Yeah, glad that you are here. We were getting a little bit of the start of how soy product is part of the asphalt program, but let's take it back a step here, Chris. What is the Asphalt Materials and Pavements Program?
Well, what it is it's a program that focuses on education. That can be undergraduate, graduate education, but we also offer short courses for industry and local and state government employees. We do outreach in terms of when people need help with something, solving a problem, or a problem arises and they need to know what happened and how they could do better. We develop new methods and specifications in design, but also in construction. So the overall objective is we want to make our pavements last longer and be more cost effective. And so we got to do that through education, research, and outreach.
Awesome. Okay, solving a problem. That's how soy products got in. The whole idea of bringing soy products into asphalt, that's how that came about, correct?
Absolutely. I was tasked with a number of years ago, there was a shortage of polymers that we use in our high-volume roads, and they were not going to have the polymer available to go into I-35. Asphalt mixes. And they said, well, what can we do to we have this construction project, paving project under contract, what can we do? And I said, well, I think you should postpone it to next construction season so that we can then get the polymers in. And they said, we can't do that. We have to get it done this construction season. They went ahead, and you know that pavement, we design our pavements to last 20 years or longer. That pavement looked rough already at 8 years, and they probably had to replace it at 12. So that demonstrated a profound problem that was emerging in the asphalt industry.
Gotcha. Eric, what makes this work? How does it work? How is the soy product used in the asphalt?
Well, we use it in a number of different ways, actually. So if you actually look at what's in asphalt, it's a bunch of components that range from really heavy and really thick to some that are really light and really thin. So one way that we can use soybean oil in asphalt is to chemically modify it so that it really kind of sneaks into that asphalt chemistry and acts like one of those lighter, thinner components. And what that does is it makes pavements more durable in the winter when the pavements get cold and are susceptible to cracking. So there's kind of a rubbery characteristic to that. The first thing that Chris and I worked on together was actually converting soybean oil into a bio-based rubber that could replace that that petroleum-based rubber that is kind of the standard for asphalt polymer modification. So those are kind of the two main things. We can turn it into actual rubbers that are used for high-performance, high-traffic pavements, but we can also use it to rehabilitate old asphalts. So if you want to have more circularity in your pavement, use more crushed and reground pavement in new roads. The soybean oil is really good at doing that. You know, ordinarily you can get about 20% recycled content into a pavement. With our soybean oil products, you can push that up to 50 or even 60% recycled pavement and have like new performance. And then those same products can then be reformulated into maintenance products. So you can get these into water-based applications that you just spray on the top of the pavement. And the soybean oil components soak into the pavement and reverse that aging process that makes pavements prone to brittleness. You can tweak things to prevent the ingress of water. So, you know, potholes come from freeze-thaw cycles and water getting into the little crevices within pavements. Crack sealing is another application that we're exploring right now.
Man, oh, man, all kinds of uses out there. Chris, what is the response from asphalt companies? Is this something that they need to be convinced to use? Is it something they're excited about, or do they even know that they're using a soy-based asphalt?
Well, we approach kind of a layered customer base from the refineries, the oil, crude petroleum refineries. And so we can help with the soy products. We can further optimize the crude refinery operations and produce a better asphalt, marrying that with our molecules. But then we have terminal suppliers that they buy asphalt and they need to have that adjusted to meet, you know, specifications. And then we can work with the contractors in having them produce mixes with more recycled asphalt material. And then we can work with companies that do pavement maintenance. And so, you know, if we're doing a modified asphalt in a refinery, the end customer, ultimately, let's say a state DOT, may not know that soy product's in there, okay? But I do think it's kind of like when you go to the grocery store, you know, you look at the label and they tell you what you're buying, right? So I think we should be transparent in all this. And so, you know, I guess the response has been, you know, really good. But, you know, roads are kind of a public trust situation where, you know, you're going to be a little bit more risk averse doing some new and improved things because of that risk, right? And so it's taken a little bit longer than what you would have liked, but it is really gaining acceptance at this juncture. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. You guys, we are always amazed at how soy is used in thousands of different products out there. And this is just one of them that a lot of people might not think about. Eric, thank you so much. Appreciate your time. Chris, thank you. And good luck to the Cyclones this weekend. I think we'll get the job done there at JTS.
Yeah,
I'm sure.
Go
hoping.
Cyclones. Yeah.
Go Cyclones. All right. We'll be back with more AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine. Not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Farmers, it's harvest time, and the last thing you need is downtime while waiting for parts for your equipment. Need custom hydraulic hoses and fittings? See Durand Napa. Need hard-to-find parts? See Durand Napa. Need bulk oil or hydraulic fluid? See Durand Napa. Durand Napa also has filters with low prices throughout the entire year and has specialty tools for your equipment. Keep your equipment working throughout the harvest with Napa know-how from Durand Napa, Madison Street, Durand.
Double-digit losses in the milk markets with this WRDN market update. I'm Brian Winnikins. At the Mercantile Exchange, October milk down 17 to 1687. November down 25 to 1627. December down 16 to 1659. January down 11 to 1669. Triple-digit losses in the live and feeder cattle markets. Export inspections were down 47% from the previous week in the beef markets. That's helping to pressure the markets. Also making matters worse is that packers are attempting to build their supply for the long term to continue to move cash prices lower. Feeder cattle also following live cattle markets lower. Hogs higher as a lot of positioning ahead of the hogs and pigs report. October live cattle down 247 to 231.57. October feeder cattle down 717 to 352.45. October hogs up 97 cents to 100.40. Chicago Board of Trade corn markets still slightly higher after Argentina reinstated their export tax. Now, soybeans are relatively flat. There's still that positive weather for the corn and bean harvest, which continues to pressure the markets. Meanwhile, wheat markets, they're moving mostly higher as short covering continues in the market as it pushes back toward near-term resistance levels. December corn up 1.5 to 425.75. November beans up 0.25 to 10.09.25. December wheat up 7.
Hey, how was your day?
Great. Don't forget, Sam's practice starts an hour early.
I'm going right now.
Sam, are you ready? Coming.
I have that meeting at school. I'll see you later.
Life is busy. Your healthcare should keep up. At Amplify Health in Mondovi, we get it. Our primary care is built around what you need when you need it, with same-day, in-person, or video appointments available. Because sometimes feeling seen and understood means actually being seen. A little empathy changes everything.
BioVet combines the latest research and technology to develop high-quality microbial and nutritional solutions for your operation. BioVet's innovative product line supports the immune system, digestive function, reproduction, along with growth and development of your livestock. Learn more at bio-vet.com and visit us at World Dairy Expo booth number EH1503 and 1504. EH1503 and 1504. Innovation.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. When news breaks, the newsmakers talk about it on AgriTalk with Chip Flory.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. I'm Chip. Glad that you are with us on this Thursday morning already. Man, oh man. When you're gone for a couple of days on the road, things get away from you in a hurry. Joining us right now, Grant Gardner. He is the Assistant Extension Professor, Grain Specialist at the University of Kentucky. Grant, it's good to talk. It's been too long. It is good to talk to you again. How are you?
Great. I'm glad UK is stealing the show today. You know, my colleague Kenny, who's my counterpart on the cattle side, he got the call out earlier.
Yeah, Yeah, no doubt about it. We've got some people here at Farm Journal that would be very happy about that. Jamie is going, you bet, let's go cats right now. So I know that for a fact. Okay, so we do the Ag Economist Monthly Monitor, obviously on a monthly basis. We're looking for trends. We're looking for changes. We're looking for how things are developing. And one of the things that just jumps off the sheet is the number of economists that are now saying that row crop agriculture is in a recession, Grant. It's 90% of the economists are saying that now.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that comes from the fact that, you know, we're seeing it 2 years in a row now, and I don't think next year looks a whole lot better. I think there's some positives there, and we can touch on those later. But I think where people were refraining to say it before is we knew that prices were down. We knew things didn't look great last year. When you look at that definition for the recession, it's got to be multiple years. And so now that we're in that kind of two-year period, you've got a lot of people changing their mind just based on what they think their definition of that recession is.
Exactly. And you know what, Grant? I think it's important for us to acknowledge and talk about the reasons why there's 10% that say that we're not in a recession. And basically, it comes down to the fact that land is holding on to its value, right?
It is. And I think that's really what makes today look slightly different from the 80s would be a good example of where land prices dropped out. And so we do have that support to an extent. And I think, you know, we may see some slight declines in land prices, but I don't see them dropping out drastically just because that's the one, you know, input or even good, you could call land a good, but that we're not making more of it. And so we're constrained. You've got competition from external entities, you know, other businesses that want land, competition elsewhere. And so I don't have the fear of that dropping out. That said, I would kind of push back against the fact that they said we're not in a recession because of land prices, just because one of the inputs isn't showing, you know, a drop or increase.
Yeah, that's exactly right. When you look at everything else that's happening on the input side, from seed to fertilizer to machinery, the costs are up, and revenue is. I don't want to say not, because we don't know what that final yield is going to be yet. We don't know. There's still a lot to be determined on this 25 crop. But, boy, it doesn't seem to be. Inputs don't seem to be reacting or responding to the a pullback in farm revenue like we've seen the past few years.
Agreed. And I think, we went through that period of high input costs, especially on the fertilizer side. And they've dropped off some since that. That said, we've just watched the crop price drop off more. And so when you really compare what's our input to our output, there's a big gap there. And I think that there were ways to break even this year. That said, you had to be a really savvy marketer. I was just doing some simple math before this interview, and you would have had to, I've called it, you know, say you can average 200 bushels an acre corn. You would have had to lock in something like, I had it here, 30 basis, I think 450, just to break even.
Yeah. You know, and then talking about that and what makes a recession, in my mind, I've also got to use a little bit about what is expected. And we asked, Farm Journal asked the question of the economists, I thought in a really interesting way. They were asking, what do you expect on corn and soybean returns in the year ahead? Gave some different categories. The bottom line is the best case scenario that the respondents saw for 26 crop is break even, Grant. There are some that expect losses up to $200 an acre, at least $100 an acre and up to $200 an acre. That doesn't make me feel very good about the year ahead either.
No, I agree. And I think there's a lot of tough decisions there. And, you know, we'll see how things fall out. It was previously mentioned too on the show today of, you know, if we could see some increased export demand from one country. That would help a lot, especially on the soybean balance sheet. And then from there, you know, what happens going forward? And I think, you know, we've had 1 year. Last year didn't look great. This year looks probably worse than last year, and that we're in. I can actually bring up the number that the average farm income for the state of Kentucky for those that are enrolled in our farm business program, it's in the red this year. And so on average, we're in the red. That's not a good sign at all. I think it's the first time in like the 40 years the program's been running where we've had an average in the red.
Yep, yep. Now, we've been talking about row crop here, and I think it's important to point out that if you roll everything in, if you roll the cattle into this equation, if you roll the hogs in, the poultry and everything, it changes the whole take on it, because then you start looking at things like the debt to asset ratio, and there's not a lot of red flags when you look at ag in general. But it's that row crop, it's cotton, it's rice. There's some pain.
I think that's something that's missed a lot when you look at different news sources is, you know, they look at the ag sector as the entire sector. And you've really got to get down to those enterprises, see what's really happening. I mean, obviously, if you've got some decent size of a livestock operation or other animals on your farm, your balance sheet's going to look a lot better. But, man, those guys, everyone who is just in that row crop sector, they're feeling a lot of pain.
Yeah, they sure are. Do you think that means we're going to see some kind of a aid package before the end of the year?
I think that's a high possibility, and maybe that's me being optimistic, because I think it's especially going to be needed in the row crop if we don't see that. I think, you know, we see a large amount of consolidation of people looking ahead and saying, "Man, I can't make this work." That said, what I point out to people when I get this question a lot is that, you know, those, in general, if you look at those losses, and so the ones I did earlier, I was coming up at, you know, on average, I could guess somewhere around $100, $150 an acre. Didn't matter if it was corn or soybeans. It's those payments, if we look at history, they're not going to make them whole this year. You know, in general, you're still probably losing money or just barely breaking even. And that doesn't account for, you know, what your cost of living expense and the people that are trying to live off the farm alone.
Right. Right. You know, and some of those that will be arguing against some kind of an aid package, I think we need to point out the opinions on an aid package among farmers. I mean, you can go from we need it and we need it right now to don't you dare do that again. It's a very wide opinion among farmers on that. But the reality of it is, when Congress gets involved in something like this, Grant, I mean, I'll say it, Congress has never seen a disaster that they don't love, and they think there's a disaster happening in agriculture.
I can point that out by the number of interviews I've been getting requests for.
I hear you. What else did you take away from the monitor and the results that we had, Grant? What have I missed?
I think the big thing is, you know, I thought it was really interesting to see, you know, where can you cut costs? And, you know, a lot of people are thinking about that for 2026. Things don't look profitable. Can I cut costs somewhere? And I'd say this is the first time ever, and even talking to people with much more experience than me, that they've had reasonable questions about, man, can I cut back on fertilizer? Can I cut back on N, P, and K and just put down nitrogen? How do I lower those costs? And I think, you know, long run, it's not a great idea, because you're going to fall behind on your applications. You've got to make up for that at some point. But right now, I think we're at how do you survive this year and get to next year and possibly the year after, where we hope to see this turn around.
Yeah. Yeah. Grant, we were talking about land prices earlier. The last real crisis that we went through, it got to the point that it turned into a savings and loan crisis. which got to the point that it turned into a land liquidation scenario. Do we have to go through that again?
I mean, I think it's starting. I've talked to a lot of producers that have lower tier ground that they're already planning to put on the market this year. And I mean, that's going to be the first thing that liquidates. You're not going to get rid of anything that's high yielding. You're going to keep that in the operation as long as you can, you know, but if they've got lower tier ground, that's got lower yields, they're not making as many dollars on it. I think a lot of that's probably going to hit the market this year if they're in that large of a cash crunch.
Yeah. All right, Grant, man, good perspectives here. Thank you so much for making time for us and helping us put a summary on this month's Economist Monitor. Thank you.
Yep. Have a great day.
You bet. That is Grant Gardner. He is there at the University of Kentucky. Okay. When we come back, Davis and I are going to put a wrap on today's show, and we are going to hear from NCBA CEO Colin Woodall.
When the game is just like you, Cenex Premium Diesel is no stranger to the field. In fact, Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster comes with a more complete additive package for a more complete burn. In simpler terms, you get restored power by up to 4.5% and restored fuel economy by up to 5%. Of course, there's always typical number 2 diesel. If you're not into the whole added power thing, Cenex Premium Diesel. Diesel that doesn't mess around.
Your Cenex Ruby Fieldmaster distributor is Elsevia Co-op.
Farmers, thinking about doing cover crops? Christina Olson is pleased to announce Cover Crop and Forage Planting Services this fall. Adding a living root onto your valued land can improve soil health, build organic matter, residue management, control soil erosion, boost crop yields, as well as increase residue to help combat white mold in soybeans. Call Christina Olson at 715-495-6104 for your cover crop needs while improving your farm's bottom line. Find her on Facebook at Christina's Cover Crops, offering winter wheat, rye, and Triticale.
Whether you have a large animal or a small one, the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley can keep them healthy. With top-notch veterinary care plus boarding and grooming services, the Animal Wellness Center keeps your pet happy, and they specialize in chiropractic care to keep your large animals moving. Make an appointment by calling 715-926-3836. The patients come first at the Animal Wellness Center of Buffalo Valley, located in the Mondovi Industrial Park, your complete traditional and holistic veterinary care clinic.
We've got what you want. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
Durant Smokehouse has custom-cut beef, pork, chicken, and more. Master Butcher Roy has custom recipes for burgers, brats, chicken, and more to make any meal a success. Try Durant Smokehouse's famous beef sticks and natural hot dogs, too. Visit Durant Smokehouse, Highway 85, Durant.
We've got what you want. We've got what you need. Your satisfaction is guaranteed.
...son and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At BEX, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. BEX honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Snakes, zombies, sharks, heights, speaking in public... The list of fears is endless. But while you're clutching your blanket in the dark, wondering if that sound in the hall was actually a footstep, the real danger is in your hand, when you're behind the wheel. And while you might think a great white shark is scary,
What's really terrifying and even deadly is distracted driving. Eyes forward, don't drive distracted. Brought to you by NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tyne Morgan, host of U.S. Farm Report, and more than a host, I'm a journalist, a wife, and a mom of two, raising a family in the heart of rural America. I understand the issues facing agriculture today because I live it every day. I see firsthand how farming and ranching isn't just a job, it's a way of life. Covering America's most important industry is what we do, and it's why U.S. Farm Report has been on the air for nearly 50 years. I invite you to join us every weekend for U.S. Farm Report, a timely, trusted tradition.
AgriTalk is brought to you by Bex. Bex Hybrids is with you every turn because both on and off the field, we're all farmers at heart. See why at BexHybrids.com.
And welcome back to AgriTalk, everybody. Your pal Davis Michelson here. We got Chip back. Not a lot of time here because there's a clip that we need to roll. Talking beef, NCBA CEO Colin Woodall had some comments. Do you want to bring us back in here on this?
You bet. Okay, so there have been all kinds of rumors in the cattle industry since last week when we got the press release from USDA on the updated efforts to control New World screwworm. Mm-hmm. Now, in that press release is what I've been calling kind of a throwaway paragraph. It didn't fit with everything else that was in this press release. Here's what it said. In addition, USDA will soon release a significant plan to help rebuild the American cattle supply, incentivizing our great ranchers and driving a full-scale revitalization of the American beef industry. This is only the beginning, with many more announcements coming this week as USDA restores American strength, protects food security, and supports America's ranchers and farmers. That created some of the volatility that we're seeing in the cattle market right now with the ideas of, oh man, what are these incentives going to be to hold back heifers? Does this mean that we're finally going to be pulling some heifers out of the feedlot? Okay. I was having a conversation with Colin Woodall, the CEO of NCBA, this morning, and asked him about it. And Big Apple Joe, go ahead. Colin Woodall is the CEO of the National Cattlemen's Beef Association. He joins us right now. Colin, there was a paragraph in a screwworm press release from USDA from Secretary Rollins that mentioned the potential and that USDA was working on some kind of an incentive program to get producers to build the beef cow herd. What's the latest on this? What are the details?
And once that announcement went out, the rumors just lit like a grass fire. It was amazing how fast they moved throughout the cattle industry and throughout the markets. But the thing everybody needs to understand is there is no financial incentive program. Regardless of what you've heard or who you have heard it from, that program does not exist. We've had contact with the secretary's team. We have been talking through them other options of things that they could do for some sort of plan to really help cattle producers. But a financial incentive program is not part of that. And I think everybody needs to understand that and be prepared, because if you are planning on that money coming your way, that's not going to happen.
Is there prep work for some kind of an incentive program? Has that started? Could this be something in the future?
you know, you can never rule out what the federal government might do, Chip. So I don't want to say, no, it could never happen in the future. Is it going to happen here soon based upon this press release? No, that is not the information that we have in our conversations directly with the secretary's team. Now, again, she and her team have asked for us to provide other policy things that she could do to try to help us. So, you know, there may be an announcement or a plan of some other things that she might be able to do, rolling back some regulations, for example, things like that. So we do expect something along those lines. But as far as a financial incentive program, that is not on the table.
All right. Boy, it seems the stakeholders of the industry at every different level would have a lot of different opinions about providing financial support to save heifers back and rebuild this beef cow herd, Colin.
And so we've heard that from our members across the board, people who were excited about it. And no way, we should never talk about this. And again, this is not something that NCBA is pushing for. It's right. not something that we are endorsing. And again, it's not something that's on the table. There are some things that she can do administratively that would just make it easier on cattle producers from a regulatory burden standpoint to operate. And I think that that is where she is looking at this point in time. We've also spread the message to the secretary and her team that one-off comments like this can have a significant market impact. And all of us have worked really hard to help create the demand that we have, which has given us some of the greatest markets we've ever seen. And we do not want the government coming in and messing with that.
Colin Woodall, CEO, National Cattlemen's Beef Association. Thank you, Colin.
Thank you, Chip.
Okay. Davis, maybe one of the most important things that Colin said there was right at the very end. We've communicated with the secretary's office that these one-off comments can have an impact on the market. Don't do anything to jeopardize what's a pretty good situation right now.
It goes back to, was it Reagan that said some of the scariest words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
And I'm here to help.
No! Ah!
Yeah. Yeah. Yep.
Exactly. That's where I go.
Yeah. And so this is, listen, just because Colin Woodall is on AgriTalk saying that there is nothing to this is not going to end the rumors. That we understand that, but there's nothing to it, guys. There's nothing to right now, based on that paragraph that I read you from that press release last week, there is no meat behind that. That's the bottom line. So, but you know what? Some of the things that Colin was saying on the regulatory fronts that the administration could do, could make some adjustments, I think those are things that we're going to continue to watch for, and who knows, there may be some progress there before we know it, and it may be on some loans. I don't even know. I have no idea this thing may go. Man, oh man, we covered a lot of different ground today, huh?
That would fast. Yeah, you settled right back into it, didn't you, baby?
Well, yeah, we're trying. Don't forget, check out U.S. Farm Report this weekend for the Bex College Roadshow. That's going to be happening in Ames, Iowa, Iowa State University. Come back this afternoon. We're going to have a conversation with John Sheaf, Sheaf Grain, here on AgriTalk.
Every day, farmers rise before the sun and put everything they have into a job so few can do. Their courage, resilience, and relentless work shape the legacies and future of our country. At Bex, we're proud to stand alongside those who don't wait to see what the world will do. They act. They lead. They are the difference. Bex honors your commitment to your land, family, and purpose. And while we can't predict what the future holds, there is one thing we can do to change it, and that's be the difference. Right now, in every decision, in every season.
The Scoop Podcast is where we talk about tight supply chains, emerging agronomic challenges, technology tools delivering ROI. I'm Margie Eckelkamp, editor of The Scoop and host of The Scoop Podcast. Join me as I interview leaders from across the ag retail sector. Farmers are working hard for every bushel, and their trusted advisors are by their side. Find the Scoop Podcast wherever you find podcasts so you are up to date on everything ag retail.
Diabetes, high blood pressure, anxiety meds, everyone's on them. If you're a 50-year-old male, maybe a bit porky, and you may even have type 2 diabetes, $1 million of term insurance may only cost you about $200 a month. Call Term Provider. Speak with Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Big Lou will find a term life policy for you even if you have type 2 diabetes, are overweight, or have high blood pressure. Term Provider has helped thousands of people like you who think they can't afford term life insurance. To buy $1 million of affordable term life for you, all you need to do is call Big Lou at 800-230-2777. Lou will make sure the scales are tipped in your favor. Call 800-230-2777. Big Lou will answer your call and work to fit you into a term life policy that you can afford. Remember, Big Lou's like you. He's on meds too. Call 800-230-2777 or biglou.com.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. Authorities are searching for a motive following yesterday's deadly shooting attack at an ICE facility in Dallas. Security at immigration offices now stepped up. When